Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Pure Minds for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 doesn't speak for anybody but our own damn selves.
And even sometimes that's not so good.
No, not usually. We the opinions are our own. We don't speak for any 12-step fellowships. That's the name of that tune. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelly
and Mark.
There it goes again. Yep. Shelly eating bread pudding, all involved, looking for things. I say thank you for coming to Recovery 101. I'm Bruce, and she immediately picks up the mic and says Shelly right at the exact right moment.
Seamlessly.
No one at home would know if I wasn't telling on you.
Oh, well.
Again, she walks across the studio, comes back in time to grab the mic and say, oh, well. So summer is beginning to wane.
Really?
Lil
Wayne?
I hadn't noticed. 99 degrees today.
That's because it's hot as Hades.
Yeah, it was 106 a couple days ago.
Yeah. And like 40%
humidity.
Oh, clearly
it's winter now.
Yeah.
You know, because people in other parts of the country, and I know because when you're in other parts of the country and it's 85 degrees, but it's 40% humidity, it's miserable.
Yep.
It was like 106 here the other day and like 38% humidity. I mean, it was
106, and a friend of mine went to the airport and got on a plane and had to go see a client up in Oregon where it was 67 degrees and raining.
Wow.
He was there for 24 hours, flew back here, it was 104.
Wow. Well, we were sitting at, went to a meeting after the meeting. We're sitting at Starbucks the other night. And, you know, they have the thing where it's such and such degrees and it feels like. It
yeah.
says it's 77 degrees, feels like 86.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
Oppressive.
Yeah. We're sitting out there at coffee and we're like, you know,
leaking.
Unbuttoning shirts and, you know, fluffing our shirts because it was hot, hot.
Yeah, but then you made me stop doing that because cars were stopping.
Yeah. I'm all for women fluffing their shirts.
Yeah, fluff.
Button them down.
Fluff away.
Hell yeah. When is that? Wasn't there just like a World Topless Day or something?
Like last month.
We need something like that. We need something like that for Recovery 101 Flash Friday, like what Tom Likas used to do.
Yeah.
They could send the pictures.
To us.
To recovery101radio@gmail.com. With Recovery 101 written across their breasts. You notice how Shelly's not opposed to this.
I'm actually just trying to think of the logistics.
Not only that, you just put a 1 on either side of the left breast. The breast itself will be the 0.
There you go.
I'm just trying to figure out how they're going to fit recovery across their chest.
Okay, don't put anything across the chest.
Just send this
you
naked
know
picture.
No. Hold up a little sign.
It says recovery.
It says Recovery 101.
Okay, the bread pudding defeated me.
Good,
it's too rich.
It's not defeating me.
You need to know if you leave it sitting there while you're doing the news, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, leave it right there. I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yes.
Don't forget to send your topless pictures to Recovery 101 at recovery101radio@gmail.com.
Really, you shouldn't say that because somebody will.
Yeah. We're counting on that.
Yeah, that's.
I don't need women sending my husband naked pictures of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Didn't
nudity,
we go do this, Romeo?
Nudity online will not be tolerated, but it will be graded.
7. 8.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. Well, you know what that means.
What?
Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
I was late.
Okay. Now,
I might have been early.
Okay.
Let's see. Shout-outs to Fran, Bill, Phil, Donald.
Where's Katie?
Sean, Deborah, Katie. Yeah, where the heck is Katie?
She's out again.
She's not out. I know she's not out.
I just say that all the time because I want her to fly over here and come kick my ass sometime.
does Deborah B. ever send anything?
I just said Deborah, didn't I?
Oh, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on the recovery101.net site and comments and likes.
Yeah, she says stuff. She surely does.
She is an involved
listener. she plays.
Okay, so we are in South Dakota.
We are?
Yes. Where apparently anyone who is afraid of snakes, you really don't want to go to, you don't stay away from South Dakota.
So nope. Indiana Jones is not there, is what you're saying.
Right. For the foreseeable future.
Why, like, what's up?
Probably forever. Why, because they have discovered that apparently evolution is happening there amongst the rattlesnake population. They're losing their rattle. So you don't know when they are around.
That's not good.
No, and what they think happened is because usually rattlesnake goes chukka chukka chukka, somebody whacks it with a shovel or shoots it.
Yeah.
They think that snakes whose rattles were deformed, because the tails of the snakes that they're finding that whose rattles don't rattle are curled like a pig's tail. Oh. And they're weak. They can't lift the tail up enough to do the rattly thing. They think that the genetic deformity is being passed down as a survival trait because the ones that do rattle are getting killed off and not surviving to produce young.
Oh,
so people are getting bitten. And plus, the ones with no rattles are way more aggressive than the ones that do rattle.
Yeah, because the rattle's a warning.
Right.
Yeah.
Shake, rattle, and roll.
Yeah, the rattle's a warning like, oh, I'm scary, I'm bad, I'm mean, stay away from me. If they don't have a rattle, they're just like, well, the heck with this, and they bite the crap out of
you. My buddy, when I was young, he had these Dobermans. They were like that. Because I'd say, where's the dogs? He'd go, there's one right behind you. And I'd look, and he'd be like right there. And it'd be like, oh. And I'm like, your dogs don't bark? He goes, they're not supposed to bark.
Yeah.
And I go, wow. He goes, I got signs up that say I have Dobies. Yeah. But if you come in, he goes, I guarantee they'll be around. You just won't know it.
Until it's too late.
Until you try and do something.
Yeah, I had a friend. We had the people across the street when I was growing up raised Dobermans.
Yeah.
And they bred them.
They were extremely quiet, these guys.
They used to sleep with their doors unlocked. And somebody broke in their house one night. And
oh,
And the dog walked over and sat in front of the front door. And just sat there and waited. And didn't make a sound until the guy went to leave.
Wow.
And then I remember he goes, I got up and the dog had the guy pinned against the wall with both paws on his shoulders.
Wow.
You're toast.
Yeah.
Wow.
We are now going to Western Montana. We're traveling pretty fast here.
It's not that big of a trip from South Dakota to North Montana.
No, well, I was gonna say it's not that far.
It's not that far, but still, I mean, considering that we haven't even left our chairs, to Mount Malmstrom Air Force Base.
Malmstrom?
Yes. They have been invaded.
By?
It's one of our nuclear bases, by the way. Nuclear warhead bases.
Invaded by
what? By rattlesnakes.
No, by Richardson's ground squirrel.
Okay.
The squirrels are burrowing. They can't figure out how to keep these things off the base because they're burrowing under all of the electrified everything, making huge tunnels way down underground. And you would think normally, okay, it's a squirrel, big deal. Squirrels don't normally burrow quite that much, but these are, and they're chewing on the cabling. Specifically, cabling that keeps our nukes, our nuclear warheads,
in the silos?
Ground.
I know, I have a solution.
This is bad news.
I have a solution.
Napalm?
No. They're called ferrets or weasels. They will go right into those holes, and they will go get those things.
Yeah, but then we've got ferrets chewing on the cable.
No. Ferrets eat meat. They'll be going to get the ground squirrels.
No. Okay, never mind. I'm not going there.
Well, at any rate, so they think they may have a solution, because apparently the ground squirrels do not like loose gravel. They won't dig in it because it falls on top of them. They don't like to walk on it because of the way their hands are shaped for digging. The rocks get stuck. It makes it uncomfortable. So they think they have a solution. They're going to be trying it out. But if they don't, they're going to be doing an awful lot of phone calling around saying, no, it's not DEFCON 5.
Wow.
It was just the squirrels.
PETA will tell you that squirrel abuse.
Excuse me, Vladimir? It wasn't us launching that. It was a squirrel.
Rocket J squirrel.
Yes, it was Richardson's ground squirrel. Who's Richardson?
We did a story about this a while ago. You didn't see it?
What was it?
You should listen to Recovery 101.
What's
Bullwinkle's buddy's name?
Rocket J. Squirrel.
Hey, Rocket, let me pull a rabbit out of my head.
Again.
Well, yeah, but didn't they call him Rocky?
Yeah.
Rocky and Bowling. Okay. Last week we talked about the...
By the way, the bread pudding did not defeat me.
Well, because you only had to eat half of it.
Yeah, well, you ate half of it, and it defeated you.
It defeated me. It was too rich.
He ate the other half of it in 3 minutes.
And I could have more.
Okay. We talked last week about, on one of the shows that we recorded, about the concert in New York that got canceled because two people died.
Yes.
Well, apparently they died from Molly, that MDMA stuff, the enhanced synthesized ecstasy.
Yeah.
Well, there have been a couple more deaths since then.
From that same concert?
What's Bloomberg doing?
No, it wasn't in New York. One was in Boston, and one was in... Now I have to...
It's outside of Massachusetts.
Oh, the other one was in New York, too, but it wasn't because it wasn't at the concert. Now, interesting. Whoops, I'm about to delete the boozy news. That's not good.
No.
Now, here's an interesting statement. Now, this is bad, and it's everybody. They're calling it Molly, is what they call this synthesized, not synthesized, that's not the word I'm looking for, enhanced ecstasy. So they're calling it Molly. Interestingly enough, when we watched the VMA, the Video Music Awards, well, I didn't watch them, I just watched snippets of it. Last week when Miley Cyrus did her thing.
Yeah, everybody watched that.
They bleeped out a line from that song that she and Robert and Thicke were singing. Because she says in it, in this We Can't Stop portion of the song, she sings about dancing with Molly. And they bleeped it out because of that, because it was a drug reference.
Huh.
For all the stuff they did not they cut that.
Right,
yes.
Like they've never had a drug reference on the VMAs. Are you kidding?
Wow. Well, maybe it was because two people died. I don't know. But now we know why Miley Cyrus is so
weird. I wonder if cocaine Eric Clapton ever won an award
people
at the
died.
VMAs. Yeah, a couple people have died from cocaine.
True.
She don't lie.
Cocaine.
In the September issue of the Journal of Studies on Alcohol and Drugs.
Sweet.
They did a study of 6,000 adult twins. You know, one will be addicted, one won't. They've found that there is a genetic, that they believe is a genetic...
marker?
No, tie between alcoholism and eating disorders. That of the 6,000 twins that they studied, that oftentimes, you know, one would be an alcoholic, one would have an eating disorder, vice versa, or both of them would have both. They don't know quite why yet, but they found that people who are alcoholics have a higher than average rate of eating disorders.
Who are the two kids off the show?
Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Mary-Kate and Ashley. The one seems to be fairly normal. The other one seems to be kind of blown out.
Fairly a mess.
And Tamara and...
Tia and Tamara.
Yeah, Tia and Tamara. But I don't think either one of them is... Well, maybe they're not Lodies. I don't know. Oh, my God. That means the Doubleman twins are in trouble.
And a study on alcohol marketing and youth done at the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health.
Now, watch. They're going to talk about something that we talked about on the show, marketing madness, and they're going to take credit for it and get money for it. Watch.
Has found that the majority of people hospitalized for alcohol-related conditions or incidents, whatever, were because they had overconsumed beer. Beer is the number one hospitalizable booze-related. Whatever.
Wait, we've been covering
Are we just creating our own words today?
Yes, I am creating my own words because the actual words have left me. Yes, beer. In specific. That, again, was something I just made up. Specifically.
In specific.
Yes, and specifically, the top brands for being hospitalized because of consuming way too much beer
are the cheapest ones.
Were Bud Ice, Colt 45, King Cobra, and Steel Reserve.
Three the of cheapest which, ones.
Three of which are malt liquors.
Yeah. King Cobra, baby. I used to have a thing for Old English 800s.
Yeah. We all did.
Well, see now, and I don't know about these like Jaeger bombs and stuff. I don't even know what's in it. I know it's Jägermeister, but what is Jägermeister? I don't even know. What kind of booze is it?
After
my time.
This is what being sober for so long, I have no idea what a Jaeger bomb even is.
I never drank Jägermeister, so I don't know.
But do you know what
German.
It is?
It's German booze.
It's German.
German booze.
Okay. Isn't that weird?
I could call any one of my kids and find out what a Jaeger bomb is.
Oh, I'm sure. We could find out anyone in the program that's like under 25 or 30 would know.
And this out of, finally, this out of Governor Island, Australia. Now we're really moving.
Hey, Governor.
Don McLeod rescued Ryan Blair, who'd gotten stranded for 2 weeks on a little island off of Governor Island. He'd gone off with a kayak and a bunch of food. He was going exploring off on his camping vacation. His food started to get a little low, so he thought, you know, I better start back now. He couldn't start back because there was a 20-foot crocodile guarding his kayak that every time he got near the kayak, the crocodile would come after him.
Did he call Paul Hogan?
No, he kept going back to his base, which was away from the kayak, his little camping site. Finally, when he was starting to get desperate, he realized, you know, I need some help because I can't. He didn't have a way to get the crocodile away from his kayak. So he set a fire and started doing smoke signals, and somebody saw him and came and rescued him. But can you imagine being stuck on an island knowing that there is a 20-foot crocodile that wants to eat you? And crocodiles, in the story, it talks about a little bit about crocodiles. Apparently, they're extremely patient. When they know there is food somewhere, if they just wait long enough, they'll sit there and wait for the food to come to them.
They would have thrown burning branches at the crocodile. I'll bet crocodiles don't like flame.
I don't know.
If you flip it over and rub just below its neck,
you can put it to sleep.
I don't think he wanted to get that close to it.
Yeah, that's the problem is flipping over the 20-foot. Because it's really true. You know what? We watched a show one time about these guys, dude. They're in the water, in the ocean, with great white sharks. And not in cages. And they'd get a hold of these great whites as they were going by, and they'd, like, rub along their belly. And the next thing you know, they'd be coming by to get their belly rubbed. And these things would rub them enough times, and they go, what do they call it, in stasis?
No, it's called tonic. Putting the shark in tonic, yeah.
And these sharks would, like, sit, be, like, straight up and down in the water. This guy would be, like, rubbing their belly, and they'd be, like, their eyes would be getting all weirded out, and they're like, yeah, because they found they could do it with these extremely aggressive types of sharks, tiger sharks and mako sharks. This guy said, I'll bet we can do it with great whites. And everyone's like, that's a really bad idea.
That's how Stingray City off of the coast of the Caymans was founded.
Oh, yeah?
Is the fishermen used to, there's a shelf off the Caymans that's only about 4 feet deep. You go out like a mile and a half. And it's really
still
shallow.
Only 4 feet.
And that's where when the fishing boats used to come back, they would stop there to clean their fish. So when they're cleaning fish, they're throwing all the
entrails
into the water, and the stingrays would come there to feed. So what the stingrays knew is that was where they came to feed. Therefore, they wouldn't sting anybody. And they became very docile there because that's where they came to get fed.
Right.
Now, that has gone. And that was, you're talking about 150 years ago. And it's still to this day, people go out there and the stingrays that collect there do not sting.
It's awesome.
Thank you for zoo talk.
Just wait till you can do that with the rattlesnakes in
South Dakota. Yeah.
They'll be docile then.
Yes, the Marine Biology Chat on Recovery 101.
That's right.
Sweet.
And that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Shout out.
To the Shout in.
To the New Way Foundation.
At Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com. So, Shelly, you did pretty good last time. What's our show topic this time?
I don't know. I got to make a decision about something here. What is the show topic?
Step three?
Yes.
No. So? Let's hear it. Step three.
We made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him.
Okay.
Or understood him.
Whose God do we turn that over to?
Our own higher power.
So if people tell me in a meeting that there's a certain higher power I have to have, that's not right?
You have your concept. As we understood him means as your concept of your higher power.
Yeah, people try to explain him to me so I'll understand him. That's okay?
I don't know. Where are you going with that?
I don't know.
Oh.
To show newcomers that you don't have to.
Yeah, listen. I mean.
When I was new, I remember being at the club, the local club down here, and there was a number of people who were higher power specific. Some of them were Christians, some of them were not. There used to be a guy who was an Indian guy, not East Indian, but American Indian guy, and he would say, my higher power, Yahweh. And he's like, look, you can have whatever higher power you want. Mine happens to be Yahweh. If you hear me say Yahweh, I'm just referring to my higher power. You guys don't know that because it's an Indian word, but that's my higher power.
The Great Spirit.
Then other people would say, Jesus is who did it for me. Other people would say whatever it was for them. And I remember, I'm like, some people would say God. Some people would just say higher power. You know, some people would say God, group of drunks.
Good orderly direction.
Good orderly direction. Some people, if they're dyslexic, it's dog. Dog is my higher power.
And if they're insomniac? And atheist? They lay awake at night and wonder why there's no dog?
Oh, why there's... And no, agnostic.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a dog or not. I'm dyslexic and agnostic. I'm not sure there's a dog. So, Shelley.
Yes?
How did you make your decision?
I believe I sort of had it thrust upon me, actually. My sponsor made me memorize the third step prayer. We prayed the prayer together.
That did it, huh?
Huh?
That did it, huh?
Well, that's what it says in the book. We discussed it. We went over it in the 12 and 12. But I think it was just, I had to make a decision about something. I mean, I had, you know, you either fish or cut bait.
Was there a burning bush moment for you?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, I just sort of said, okay, I'm done.
I made my decision.
My decision was, I am not going to drink anymore. I don't want to drink anymore. I can't do this by myself. I wrote alcohol on a piece of paper and stuck it in my God box. It is still there to this day. Don't ever take it. It's like Pandora's box. God forbid, don't open the box.
Were you doing that? Was it like the guy on Facebook today where he said, I tried fishing for the second time today? I didn't catch any fish, but boy, I shored the worms whose boss. So, Mark, and by the way, Shelley, it was quite similar for me. But, Mark, how did it go for you? Third step.
Well, after one and two, it was just sort of the natural progression of things. You know, it was like
You already came to believe.
Yeah, you came to believe.
So now that you believe.
Yeah, not just let someone take care of it, you know. Quit being in charge. I think the hard part was quit being in charge.
That's the toughest part of it.
Large and in charge, baby.
The famed rubber band theory.
Yeah.
Let me give it to God until I think I can do it better myself.
Yeah, yeah, it's like that paddle with the red ball and the rubber band.
Yeah, I could never do those.
Me neither.
I've never been able to do the thwack at a thing. The thwack at a thwack at a thwack.
I get it going real good for about 4 or 5 seconds, yeah, and then it would hit me in the head or something.
That's sort of like an analogy. Is that what I'm looking for?
An analogy? Yeah.
Or an allegory for life?
Yeah.
You can manage your paddle long enough to hit the ball 4 times, and then it all goes haywire and you end up with a black eye.
Yeah. There you go.
Now, when you work it with somebody else, Mark, what do you like? And knowing that every case is slightly different because,
you know,
people have different ways they look at things. But what do you generally have people do?
We work the steps in order and we work them one at a time. But I kind of get those three combined pretty quickly with people. I'll individually go through those, but then I'll group them pretty fast. You know, and I just put it to people around, you know, surrender, acceptance, and willingness. You know, you just have to be willing to let God take care of it. You need to be willing to let your higher power in. You know, you don't always have to be the one to run the show. As a matter of fact, if you look back on your life,
you're welcome.
And you look at the number of times that you've run the show, ask yourself how that tape played out to the end. You know, so, and really, it's that willingness, you know, to turn it over, to let God run it. You know, I can't, He can, I'll let Him. It's pretty simple stuff when you come
from... That was going to be my final words, by the way.
I know. It's pretty simple stuff when you come from where we came from.
Should be.
You know, I mean, I've had people say before, you know, how do I do this program without... How do I do the steps without this God thing? The infamous God thing. Whenever I hear the words God thing, I know somebody's having a problem.
The God thing.
Yeah. You know, and you point out to them that in chapter 5, before you get to the steps, there's a part that says, if you want what we have and are willing to go to any lengths to get there, then
you're ready to take the steps.
So you need to decide if you're there before you even start the steps, you know.
And I've had many a guy that was working on inventory or something, and I'm like, maybe we should have you back at step 3 again.
Yeah.
Because you're not doing it very well.
Yeah. Well, if you get to step 3 and you're having a hard time turning it over, go back to step 2.
Right. How about you, Shelly? What do you do with your – do you do it the same way your sponsor did it with you?
Pretty much. I mean, it worked, so why mess with – you know, I don't need to reinvent the wheel. And if it, you know, helped me get sober and stay sober, why not do it the same way? It's what I know. That was the way I was taught. When somebody teaches you how to bake a cake, you tend to bake your cakes that same way. And you tend to teach the next person how to bake a cake the same way.
What happens if you leave it out in the rain?
Well, all the icing drips down the sides. What is it?
I was just caught up in MacArthur Park for a second.
Yeah, I could get that.
You're channeling your inner Donna Summer?
Yeah.
Well, you're on my mic cord, first of all.
You were always on my mic cord.
You were always on my mic cord.
Jeez, Pete. Now I've completely lost. No, I haven't completely lost. Where was I going with this?
God.
Oh, step 3 is not, I mean, people do the 1-2-3 waltz a lot because they have this mental block against 4, which is kind of silly. I mean, I kind of understand it, but it's kind of silly. But the reality is, of the three, the third one, I think, is the fastest one because it's not rocket science. It's just a decision. We make decisions about everything, about things every single day. You decide Burger King or McDonald's. You know, you decide the black pants or the brown pants. Why is it so difficult when you know where your life is going to go if you continue to do what you were doing, when you know what the outcome is of your own thinking. Why is this such a difficult decision?
Well, in fairness, it's a slightly bigger decision on whether it's Jack in the Box or Burger King.
Is that a
yes.
decision?
But deciding between Jack in the Box and Burger King is still going to get you dead from a heart attack. Deciding to turn your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand him is going to save your life.
Oh, no, I agree.
But why is it such a big decision, though?
Well, and it shouldn't be. I go back to exactly what Mark said. By the time I get to three, it should be just like the big book says, which is do the third step prayer. It's just like step seven. When you get to step seven, it says, say this. When you're done with this, you've now completed step seven. To me, the biggest thing was what we talked about on the previous show, which was the come to believe. Once I've come to believe that there's something other than me running the show, whatever that thing happens to be, whether it's nature or God or Jesus or Yahweh or whoever, once I've come to believe, the other thing's a prayer, which, by the way, I do every day. I still do it every day. I do my third step prayer, seventh step prayer every single day because I do.
You do.
I do the third, the seventh, the serenity prayer, and the Lord's prayer all in a row every day. I figure I'm pretty covered if I do all those in a row. Take all the big prayers.
You've strapped on your armor at that point.
That's
armor of righteousness.
That's as good as it gets right there. Yeah. Now, so I believe that once you, Shelly's like looking past
me. I just
trying to see how much time is left on the show.
No, I just looked up and I thought it said 65 minutes, and I thought we weren't on break that long.
Yeah, no,
we were.
So for me, by the time I got to step three, and exactly it's exact my what my sponsor did is when it was time to do the, I said, okay, I'm ready to work the third step. And we talked briefly about it. We were at Caro's. We're at the place that used to be called Bojack's. It was now it's called Costa's or something. It's a coffee shop. And we're there, and we go over step two to make sure that I've really come to believe. And he goes, so are you ready for step three? And I said, yeah. And he goes, hit your knees. We're in the restaurant. In the restaurant. On our knees on the floor in the restaurant. Do the third step prayer. He also made me memorize the prayer. Did the third step prayer. He goes, great, you're done. Start working on your inventory. And I'm like, oh, wow. This is the time I actually worked on the inventory. And that was it. That was it. We did it right where we were. And I remember looking at him. I go, dude, this is embarrassing. He goes, do you know any of these people? I go, no. And he goes, then don't worry about it. So, Shelly, what would your final words be?
Are we there? Yep. Are we there already?
Pretty much.
My final words.
We took a 7-minute break. We're right there.
If you are having problems, if you get to step three and you have any reservation about making a decision, your step two is broken. You need to go backwards. Because if you go into step three with any kind of reservation, if you sit there and you say, okay, I'll say the prayer, but there's some part of your mind that's thinking, I don't know if I really am down with this. But you're doing it and you're lip serving a set, you're going to go out. You might as well just go backwards, go back to step two. Step one, whatever you got to do.
Awesome. Mark.
Yes.
Final words.
Just do it. It's only your life that's at stake.
My final words. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those who I help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Amen.
Enough said. Mark.
Yes.
Who's our friend back east?
Eddie Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go to recovery101. Wow.
Wow.
You can go to recovery101.net.
How's that meth going there,
what
Mark?
What was in that soda you served me, Shelly?
Well, I don't know. You opened the can. I don't know what you put in.
You opened up a can of whoop ass.
Hey, you can go to recovery101.net. You can scroll down to our sponsors. You can click on the 12-Step Gazette link. take you to his fine publication, which you can read online. You can get it emailed to you, get the subscription, prescription, and he'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery house or a sober living or someplace where many of us sit together, contact Bruce and he'll send you some copies to strew about the facility. And if you're interested in a franchise, contact Bruce. He'll give you all the information you need to bring the 12-Step Gazette to your little corner of the world.
And I believe the new issue is coming out soon.
By the time the show goes up, it'll probably be out.
I can tell because we've only got about six left here.
I think there's only four left there.
Shelly.
What?
People are listening to the show.
Anyway you listen to the show, we appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it. We just had a little journey moment.
Yes, and now I have it going through my head. Ah, I've been hit by a song. But if you could go to recovery101.net, that is our site. Click on show link. If you are already a member of Podomatic, thank you. You've just been counted. If you're not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member.
Join.
It's free. Sorry. It's free, and you can... I don't know. I've lost my entire train of thought here. You can follow us. You can click like on all the shows, just not all at once and on the same day. You can leave topic suggestions. If you do so, please leave it in one of the top shows so Bruce sees it.
You can click like on shows that you listened to in another way.
Yes.
You can go back. We have 28 pages of 20 shows per page. So we've got 560 shows uploaded there.
Really?
Really.
Wow.
That's a grip. So, if you want to become addicted to Recovery 101, it's the booyah.
We are the world of Warcraft for recovery.
No, I just got hit by another song.
Which one?
Booyah? We are the world. You said we are the world.
Oh. Warcraft. We are the children.
You remember, I couldn't get that out of my head for years. I can't remember any of the words now. You can also join us on Facebook. We have a Facebook Recovery 101 radio show fan page. It's inching up towards 2,000 people. We haven't been doing it that long. But my friends list was getting ridiculous on my Facebook page. It was always hovering around 5,000. And it's difficult because I'll get like a new sponsee and I can't add them on Facebook. So that makes it problematic for me. So join our thing there. We also have the Recovery 101 radio group. If you are Facebook friendly but you don't want people to know you're an addict or alcoholic, you can join that group. You can post to your heart's content about alcoholism and addiction. And you and we in that group will be the only ones that see it. We've got an email address. Recovery101radio@gmail.com. And if you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, it's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly.
Yes.
Who's the lead out music by?
Matt Land.
Matt Land. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
time, losing your mind to things.